Ready? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين وصل اللهم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين الله صل على محمد وعلى محمد ربي أنتقنا بالهدى وألهمنا بالتقوى السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. I begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no doubt that it's due to His kindness and generosity. He provides for us opportunities such as these where we gather together in remembrance of Him tabaraka wa ta'ala. We continue with our discussion on the eschatology or on life after death. And we are now at that final stages. Last week we had discussed the concept of sirat and the concept of kitab. Before that, and then we discussed how now, when we discuss mizan, we are coming basically to the end now, and we are now approaching the final judgment. And we said in the Quranic verses that the final judgment of what will happen to us belongs strictly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's His domain. This final judgment will likely happen in what's known as a meeting with God, what is known as liqa'ullah. And exegetes have said that this concept of liqa'ullah is a very difficult concept to understand. Because what does really meeting God mean? We know we are not anthropomorphists where we say that God will take a form where we will meet God per se. But it is, in many exegetes have considered this liqa'ullah to mean meeting the reward or punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. This is before Hisab. This is from last week. It was on last week's slides. So many exegetes have taken this to mean meeting the reward or punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Others have taken this hisab or this meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mean the day of judgment. Yani we are now on the day of judgment itself. Others have taken this liqa Allah to mean the judgment that will be passed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are many different approaches or explanations that are possible of what it means when we say liqa Allah, the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, what is very interesting is that no matter which explanation we take, what exegetes have said is that the entire journey before meeting God is going to be a very difficult journey. It's going to be, for a lack of better term, an uphill struggle, a constant battle that we are going through until we meet God. And then when we meet God, things will either become easy or we will be sent to hell, but that struggle and that fight will be over. And as we know, this dunya is supposed to be a realm of struggling, a realm of climbing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is described very beautifully in the surah of Inshiqaq, surah number 84, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal insan innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqih. Yeah, he says, surely, O man, you must strive to attain to your Lord a hard striving until you meet Him. That means everything before that is going to be a struggle. Life is going to be a struggle. And I think one connection that we can make, as this verse points out, that those who will be given the book in their right hand, they will be happy. Those who will be given the book behind their back will be sad. The amount, I think that equates to the amount of struggle one does in this life, in dunya. The more we struggle towards God, the more chances that our book will be given to us on our right hand and we will be happy. But as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that you must strive to your God, a hard striving. Many verses describe this meeting of God, and I just want to list them so that we understand that this is a concept that is there and is present. This is why it's important for us to try to understand or at least rationalize what is meant by this liqa'ullah. Allah says, for example, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ مُلَاقُوهُ, and be careful of your duty to Allah and know that you will meet Him. Another verse says, they are losers indeed who reject the meeting of Allah. Until when the hour comes upon them, all of a sudden they shall say, Oh, our grief for our neglecting it. They shall then bear their burdens on their backs. Now surely is evil which they bear. There are those who disbelieve in the communications of their Lord and His meeting, so their deeds become null, and therefore we will not set up a balance for them on the day of resurrection. We quoted this verse when we talked about mizan, right? We said, "Ulaika alladhina kafaru biayati rabbihim wa liqa'ihi fahabitat a'maluhum fala nuqimu lahum yawmal qiyamati wazna." And this is how we deduced that mizan, the balance or the weighing of our actions will not be done for non-believers, because for them their actions will be annihilated. There'll be nothing to weigh, right? There'll be no hasanat. And as we said when we talked about mizan, it is only hasanat which has weight. Sayyat has no weight. So if these people, their hasanat is not there, there's nothing to weigh, right? So we discussed this last week. And again, there are many verses again which talk about this liqa'ullah. And it's to those who disbelieve in the communications of Allah and His meeting, they have despaired of my mercy, and these it is that shall have a painful punishment. This is that ya'as billah. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَلِقَائِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَئِسُوا مِنْ رَحْمَتِي وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. So I guess one of the understandings or definitions of ya'as billah is neglecting or rejecting the meeting that we will have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence for us who always have this hope that we will meet God, we will be more steadfast in our actions. And the verses with liqa Allah are plenty, yeah? And the salutation on that day that they meet Him shall be peace, and He has prepared for them an honorable reward, and that to your Lord is your goal. Wa inna ila rabbikal muntaha. So this is describing this meeting of God, after which inshallah life will become less difficult, less burdensome. Or even for those who are known to be going to hell, at least that struggle is now over, maybe. I don't know. I mean, the painful punishment is still coming up, but that waiting for that result. You know, sometimes when you are guilty and you know you are guilty, and the process itself until that guilt has been confirmed is very burdensome and stressful until that guilt has come, and now you have to deal with it, but the consequences, but at least that struggle of that entire time is gone. Now we come up to the next discussion, and this is Al-Hisab. Al-Hisab is a very interesting discussion, and we've made it into a very lengthy discussion. It's not just a simple Hisab or accounting. We're actually dissecting this concept of Hisab. The Day of Judgment has many names, and one such name that has been given to the Day of Judgment is Yawmul Hisab. Yawmul Hisab, there are many verses. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ مُوسَى إِنِّي عُزْتُ بِرَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ مِنْ كُلُّ مُتَكَبِّرٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِيَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ. Moses said, indeed, I seek the protection of my Lord and your Lord from every arrogant one who does not believe in the Day of Hisab, on the Day of Reckoning. Another verse says, and the one that we always recite in Qunut, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. So there's this Day of Judgment in itself is called the Day of Hisab. Those who go astray from the path of Allah, they shall surely have a severe punishment because they forgot the Day of Reckoning. When we look at Hadith, this Day of Reckoning should be a day or a point or a junction that of the Day of Judgment that we should really keep in the forefront of our minds at all time, knowing that we will be held accountable for what we do should prevent us from doing a lot that we do. And this is something where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, for example, is describing as people who have forgotten that I will take account of you are those who have gone astray from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're going to be discussing in a slight amount of detail or in a good amount of detail this event of Hisab. The first question that we ask is, what is the purpose of Hisab? And the reason we ask this question is that because there is no doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need to count of our actions, right? He does not need for us to total our actions to figure out if we're going to heaven or hell. He knows everything. And there's a verse I tried to minimize the amount of slides so that I may be discussing more verses and hadith which are not present. So for example, describing the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in surah number 31 verse 16, Luqman says to his son, Ya Bunay, innaha intaku mithqala habbatin min khardalin fatakun fi sakhratin aw fi samawati aw fi al-ard ya'ti biha Allah inna Allah latifun khabir. O my son, even if it should be the weight of a mustard seed, and even though it should be in a rock, or in the heavens, or in the earth, Allah will produce it. Indeed, Allah is all attentive, all aware. Latifun khabir. Like, so this is describing that nothing escapes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has full awareness of all of our actions. So then this is an important question to understand then. What is the purpose of hisab? And it's quite fascinating when we think about what the purpose of hisab is. The first is to show the complete adalat, the complete hikmah, and the complete qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The complete justice of His, the complete wisdom, and the complete power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَوْنَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُوَفَّ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. That you will not be dealt unjustly. For anybody who had a question about where is God's justice and the power of God, and those who rejected the power of God in this world, hisab will prove to them the power of God. Yeah, hisab will prove to them the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's more, if you think about it, it's more for us to really understand God better on this day, right? And again, I bring it back to a regular court system. You know, the court, the judge always has this gavel that he smacks down. And when he smacks that gavel down, there's nothing else you can say. It is done. The ruling is done. In a metaphorical way, this is what God is doing. Yeah, He's showing you, look, you have nothing else left after this day. I have made my judgment, and this is what hisab, one of the reasons what is hisab for. And alongside of this, if He forgives, it is showing His generosity and mercy on that day. And if He punishes, it is showing His power and adalat on that day. So no matter what happens, no matter what conclusion is drawn from it, we will see the grandeur and the magnanimity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this day, in this point, or in this doing of reckoning or happening of hisab on this day. So this is one reason, or one probable reason, of why hisab takes place. Another reason is also very interesting, is for us to realize in full effect the consequences of our actions. For the good, it will be a good consequence. For the bad, it will be a bad consequence and results. But we will, on this day, it will become very apparent to us. Again, what we gain from both of these is that hisab is not for God, it is for us. Yeah, for us to realize the consequences of the actions that we have done in this particular world. And this reckoning, or this hisab, is described or paralleled to trials and temptations of this world, the bala, the ibtila of this world. That the fact that we are tested in this world is not for God. It is for us to understand, it is for our benefit that we get closer to God, or for us to understand, to show what true iman is, right? This is a very important parallel that is drawn here, that the hisab is for us to realize the consequences of the actions for our benefit, in a lack of a better term. Yeah, and for our benefit, that we realize the manifestation of what we have done. And Ayatollah Jafar Subhani, he says that this parallel of reckoning to ibtila, to bala, can be understood by a sermon from Nahjul Balagha, in the last parts, in the sayings of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the saying number 93, where he talks about the reason why we get tested. What's very interesting, you know, is It's really a blessing of God. When I, for example, create lectures or put lectures together, though they may be like two completely different lectures, it's amazing how bridges are drawn between them. So this is hadith that I'm going to read is one that's going to come up again on Thursday on a completely different subject. And I find that amazing that God draws these parallels. But Imam Ali alayhi salam in this sermon or in this hadith is talking about temptations and trials. And he says, take care and do not pray to your Lord saying, Lord, I pray you to protect me and guard me from temptations and trials. He says, don't pray for that. Yeah, don't pray for God to protect you or guard you from temptations and trials, for there is none who is not tempted and tried. Yeah? So don't pray that, don't try me, don't test me. It will happen, is what he is saying. But beseech him to guard you against such temptation as that may lead you towards wickedness. Right? So it's all about how you make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, because we are tried by different things, and I'm just paraphrasing. It says, for example, God has said in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 28, know that your wealth and your children are fitna, temptations, right? So he says, it means that Allah tried people through wealth and children so that it may be tested as to who is content with what he gets honestly and who is thankful to Allah for the position he has placed in with the regard to his children. Though Allah knows better, then Allah knows them better than even they know themselves. Yet those trials and tests are for the purpose of their realizing and knowing those deeds which merit reward and which deserve punishment. Yeah. So these temptations and trials that we are faced with is for our own benefit. Likewise, the hisab that will take place is for our own benefit. Right? So this is a very interesting point, though we had to take a big circle to understand it, but it makes complete sense that it is for our benefit, realizing the actions that we have done. The third is to portray or deliver the decisive proof of God, to complete the hujjah. As Allah says, قُلْ فَلِلَّهِ الْحُجَّةُ الْبَالِغَةُ. Yeah, he says that, say, to Allah belongs the conclusive argument. Hisab is the conclusive argument of God. When that accounting is taking place, there will be no room for questioning God. Everything will be proven to the last atom's weight that you are being rewarded because of this or you are being punished because of this. And it is all based on our actions. So it's very interesting when we think about the purpose of hijab, the purpose of hisab, that two out of the three, or even three out of the three, are for our benefit, or for us. It's not really for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we read hadith, there's some very interesting hadith regarding the purpose or why hisab will take place or how it will take place. The first one comes from Biharul Anwar, volume 1, page 177. An ibn Ziyad qal sami'tu Ja'far bin Muhammad as-Sadiq alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. وَقَدْ سُئِلَ عَنْ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى فَلِلَّهِ الْحُجَّةُ الْبَالِغَةُ. So this person, Ibn Ziyad, heard and overheard Imam alayhi salam being asked about this verse, فَلِلَّهِ الْحُجَّةُ الْبَالِغَةُ. To Allah belongs the conclusive argument. فَقَالَ الْإِمَامُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ لِلْعَبْدِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَكُنْتَ عَالِمًا فَإِنْ قَالَ نَعَمْ قَالَ لَهُ أَفَلَا عَمِلْتَ بِمَا عَلِمْتَ. And فَإِنْ كُنْتَ وَإِنْ قَالَ كُنْتُ جَاهِلًا قَالَ لَهُ أَفَلَا تَتَعَلَّمْ أَفَلَا تَعَلَّمْتَ حَتَّى تَعْمَلْ. He says that Allah will ask the people on that day, were you knowledgeable? Did you have knowledge of this? And if they said yes, then he would say to them, why didn't you act according to your knowledge? Yeah. And if they say we were jahil, he says, then why didn't you go learn, so that you won't become a jahil anymore? Yeah. So no matter which line of argument we take with God, God has this hujjatul baligha, this complete authority on this day, conclusive argument that really nobody can argue with him. There's another hadith, I'm just going to paraphrase it because it's a long hadith, but it's a very beautiful hadith. I never heard it before, I read it before. It's from Al-Kafi, volume 2, page 228. عن عبد الأعلى مولى آل سامن قال سمعت أبا عبد الله عليه السلام يقول. So this person heard again our sixth Imam alayhi salam say that on the day of judgment, Allah will subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring up a woman who is very beautiful. She will say, God, you created me beautiful, and because of that I fell into trouble in this world. I fell into fitna. So at this time God will call Sayyidah Maryam alayhi salam, and he will ask this lady, who is more beautiful, you or her? And she would say, she is more beautiful. He says, though because of her beauty, she never fell into any fitna. Then he will call a handsome man. And this man will come up to him and say to ya Allah, you created me beautiful. Yeah, because of that, I fell into temptation. And because of that, I did things which were haram. So God will call Yusuf alayhi salam. Yeah, and he will say to him, who's more handsome, you or Yusuf? And he'll say, Yusuf. He says, then he never fell into temptation, though women were throwing themselves at him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call a man who had a very difficult life. And the man will say to him, God, you put me in a very tough situation. There was nothing I could do. And because of that, I fell into fitna. And God will call Prophet Ayyub and say, tell me, who had a more difficult life? You or Ayyub? And he will say that Ayyub, and he says, yet he never fell into any fitna. Basically saying that there is no argument that we will bring on that day that will stump God. There will be an answer to everything, this is something that we need to be cognizant about. As far as the second question then is, who will be doing the accounting? The verses of the Holy Quran are clear that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will be doing the accounting. Allah says, for example, وَإِمَّا نُرِيَنَّكَ بَعْدَ الَّذِي نَعِدُهُمْ أَوْ نَتَوَفَّيَنَّكَ فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ. And we will either let you see part of what we threaten them with or cause you to die, for only the delivery of the message is incumbent on you, while calling them to account is our business. Yeah. In another verse, God says, indeed, إِنَّا إِلَيْنَا إِيَابَهُمْ ثُمَّ إِنَّا عَلَيْنَا حِسَابَهُمْ. Indeed, to us will be the return, and indeed their reckoning will lie with us. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. And Allah suffices as a reckoner. Now, these are some of the verses mentioning that it is God who will be doing the accounting. However, there are certain verses which state that human beings will be their own accounter, will be doing their own reckoning. So for example, Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, we use this verse a couple of times, وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا اِقْرَأْ كِتَابِكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ يَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. We have attached every person's omen or book to his neck, and we shall bring it out for him on the day of resurrection as a wide open book that he will encounter. Read your book today, you yourself suffice as your own reckoner. So then this verse is saying that we will be our own reckoners, while here God is saying that he is the reckoner. So obviously some type of reconciling is needed, and the reconciling here is quite simple, right? The book is written by God's command. The book will open with God's command. The book will speak with God's command. Hence, it is God's command who will be doing all of these things, and hence we can say that God is the reckoner. Same thing applies to, for example, the removal of the soul. If you remember, there are verses which talk about, I remove the soul, God. And then there are other verses which he says, I send angels to remove the soul. This in no way is contradictory to one another. It is the same as God sending his angels, or God saying, I'm the one who is doing it to begin with. The third question is, what will we be questioned about? Right? The Quran describes, I think, about six or seven things that we will be questioned about. I've listed only four of them. Hadith mention an infinite amount of things that we will be questioned about. So for example, we will be questioned about our actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, had Allah wished, he would have made you one community, but he leads astray whomever he wishes and guides whomever he wishes, and you will surely be questioned regarding what you used to do. وَلَتُسْأَلُنَّ عَمَّا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. So this is basically a general verse saying that everything that we will be doing or that we did, we will be questioned about it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other verses describe the bounties that we are provided. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then that day you will surely be questioned concerning the blessing that we provided for you. Right, so any ni'mah that we have been given by God, we will be questioned on that day how we used it, how we spent it, what we did with that particular gift. Again, there are many traditions, I'm sure, which say that what these ni'm is that it's referring to, but it is any blessing of God from the general reading of this verse. In another verse, it's regarding the lies that we told in this world. تَاللَّهِ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ عَمَّا كُنْتُمْ تَفْتَرُونَ. By Allah, you will surely be questioned concerning what you used to fabricate, what you used to make up. Again, this could be about fabrication against God and His Messenger, or it could be fabrication in a very general sense. When I lie, I will be questioned about it, because lying is one of the major sins. Likewise, the truth that we told, we will be questioned about it. God says in the Quran, لَيَسْأَلَ الصَّادِقِينَ عَنْ صِدْقِهِمْ وَعَدَّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. So that He may question the truthful concerning their truthfulness, and He has prepared for the faithless a painful punishment. So these are some of what the Quran says we will be questioned about. When we come to hadith, it's a very extensive list, so we can't go through all of them, but I'll just mention a few things that have also been mentioned about what we will be questioned about. The first hadith is from Biharul Anwar, volume 7, page 259. An Abi Ja'far al-Baqir alayhi salam qal, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة من بين يدي الله حتى يسأله عن أربع. He says that you will not be able to proceed until on the day of judgment until you are questioned about four things. عمرك فيما أفنيته وجسدك فيما أبليته ومالك من أين كسبته وأين وضعته وعن حبنا أهل البيت عليهم السلام اللهم صل على. So the four things that he says we will be questioned about are our lifespan and how we spent it, our bodies and how we dealt with it, the money that we earned, where how we earned it and how we spent it. And our love of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. In another hadith in Bihar, again volume 7, page 260, it is said, An Aliyin alayhi salam, qala al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, awwalu ma yus'alu anhu al-abdu hubbuna Ahlul Bayt. This is a constant recurring hadith that the first thing that we will be questioned about is the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam and our love for them. And then, of course, the very famous one that I'm sure all of us know is from Biharul Anwar, volume 7, page 262. An Abi Basir, قال سمعت أبا جعفر يقول أول ما يحاسب فيه العبد الصلاة فإن قبلت قبل ما سوى. The first thing that you will be questioned about is your prayers. If it is accepted, everything after that will be accepted. If that is rejected, everything after that will be rejected. I had some people who had, or I had one person who came up to me and had difficulty believing this hadith, because they said they were quoting the verse from Surah Al-Zilzal, that the last two verses, where you will see in every atom's worth of good and you will see every atom's worth of evil. Here we're talking about two different things. This is, one is seeing them, and this is hisab. You will see the manifestation of all of your actions throughout this journey. But hisab here is referring to this. How do we reconcile this hadith about salah with those hadith about Ahlul Bayt? I think the simplest way to be that our salah lacks the completion unless we have the love of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Likewise, our love for the Ahlul Bayt is incomplete unless we do those things that the Ahlul Bayt want us to do or have preached for us to do. So again, and then the list really continues, and we don't have time to go into all of the things that we will be questioned about. The fourth question is that we're asking is that will all of creation be questioned? So what we're saying here is the prophets, will they be questioned? The awliya, will they be questioned? The kafirun, will they be questioned? Because when we talked about it previously with mizan, we said that the kuffar will not have a balanced scale on that day. Then the question is, and will they be questioned? Very interestingly, the Quran has very many different verses regarding these. And it would seem on a face value that they contradict one another, but we would need to reconcile them, and inshallah we will. The Holy Quran, as we said, has different explanations to this. The first type of verse is when God says that everybody will be questioned. فَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الَّذِينَ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ We will surely question to those we will surely question those to whom the apostles were sent, and we will surely question the apostles. So this leaves nobody. Yeah. The Prophet, even though he hasn't physically been here with us, he was sent for us. So this is covering all of us. It is covering every generation. What this verse is basically saying, that everybody will be questioned, or will hisab will take place for them. There's a hadith from Bihar al-Anwar, volume 7, page 113, where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ لِنِقَاشِ الْحِسَابِ وَجَزَاءِ الْأَعْمَالِ Says that day that Allah will gather every single human being, the first and the last, to niqash, to discuss with them or to go over their hisab and their accounting and their reckoning on that particular day. The second verses, or second set of verses, talk about not everyone will be questioned. So for example, Allah says in surah number 55, verse 39, فَيَوْمَ إِذٍ لَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذَنْبِهِ إِنْسٌ وَلَا جَانٌ On that day, neither humans will be questioned about their sins nor jinn. So this is talking about a separation or a different type of people who will not be questioned. Or Allah says, for example, about the mujrimeen, He says, وَلَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذُنُوبِهِمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ That the guilty will not be questioned about their sins. Now this clearly goes in a different understanding than that verse which says that everybody will be questioned. The third set of verses say that the guilty will be questioned. Yeah. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, احشروا الذين ظلموا وأزواجهم وما كانوا يعبدون من دون الله فهدوهم إلى صراط الجحيم وقفوهم إنهم مسألون مسألون Muster the wrongdoers and their mates and what they used to worship besides Allah and show them the way to hell, but first stop them, for they must be questioned. So again, when you look at this, the guilty will not be questioned. Here, the guilty will be questioned. Yeah, and then the fourth set of verses talk about those who are patient will not be questioned. Allah says, "Qul ya ibadil ladhina amanu taqu rabbakum lil ladhina ahsanu fi hadhihi dunya hasana wa ardullahi wasi'a wa innama yuwaffas sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab." Say, Allah declares, O my servants who have faith, be wary of your Lord. For those who do good in this world, there will be a good reward. And Allah's earth is vast. Indeed, the patient will be paid in full their reward without reckoning. And there are many hadith which back this, that there are certain categories of people who will be called out by angels on the Day of Judgment. So the patient ones are one of them, where an angel will cry out, "Who or where are the patient ones?" And a group of people will rise, and the angel will say to them, "Go, enter heaven without hisab." So when they go into, when they're entering, about to enter heaven, the angels at the door or the gates of heaven will stop them and ask them, "What were you patient over?" And then they describe the different levels of patience that they have. An ma'asiyatillah, or inda al-musiba, or an ta'atillah, that they were patient in obedience to God and in refraining from disobedience to God and during times of calamities. These three different stations they were patient in, so this is the reward that they will enter without any accounting. How do we reconcile these verses? We have to, right? We have to figure out a way of reconciling these verses. Now, I don't think this is... I didn't put this in the slides. Now, the way we reconcile hisab, or reconcile these verses, which may seem contradictory on face value, is by understanding the reality of hisab. We are told that hisab is of two kinds. There is one which is known as taqwini, universal hisab, and the other one is a personal hisab. Yeah? Universal hisab applies to, or universal, when we talk about that which is taqwini, we hear about this concept all the time in aqaid. When we discuss theology here, we discuss about that which is taqwini and that which is tashri'i. Taqwini is a universal principle that is set and that is established, and there is no changing of that universal principle. Right? For example, God says in Surah number 35, verse 43, فَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. Yet you will never find any change in the Allah's precedent, in Sunnatullah. Sunnatu ilahiyya are the precedents or the established things that God has sent or has established that human beings don't have the capacity to change. Examples of that are the sun rising, the sun setting, the moon cycle, the earth's rotation, gravity. All of these things are applied principles that human beings have no capacity to change. This is what is known as taqwini, universal principles. Included amongst the universal principles are the actions of man. Yeah? Our actions are included in this universal principle, and what we mean by that is that every act of goodness or evil that we do has implications to them. Yeah? If I do something good, it will have an effect on other people. An example of that is, for example, sadaqah. When I give charity, this act of giving charity will have an effect on somebody. For example, if I sponsor a child in a third world country to get an education, that may have a grand effect generations down, right? So every action that I do, or nearly every action that I do, positive action, will likely yield a positive result. Likewise, evil actions have consequences on the rest of humanity as well. Yeah. So for example, one simple understanding would be the wasting of food. If I throw away food, that has implications on people. Yeah, I took extra than I deserved or needed, which somebody else could have had, for example, and now it has implications on what I do. And so basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us all like a domino effect, right? The action that I do in this part of the world can have a tremendous effect down the line on somebody maybe who's generations away. Right? And this again goes into the adalat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we talked about that in our theology class. I think we need to go do the theology class again. Yeah. I said I think every 2-3 years we should revisit the theology class, because I'm sure I have forgotten a lot of that which we studied. But inshallah, we can talk about that later. So based on this universal principle, each and every one of us will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding our actions which had consequences on other people. Okay? So this is a guaranteed fact that line of questioning will take place because my actions had effect. And again, this goes back to what we discussed a few classes ago, where we are the representatives of God on this earth. Yeah, we are the Khulafa'ullah, we are the Khalifa of God. The way He created Adam, it was not just a specific creation of Adam alayhi salam, but it was almost to say that everybody who is on this earth is my representative. Hence, we are all connected in one chain, in one universal connection, which there will be accounting for. The second hisab is personal hisab. Personal hisab refers to or applies to each human being's based on their personal entries and recordings. Yeah, that which I deposited in my account and that which I withdrew from my account. So it's not necessarily the result of my action, but it is the action itself that which is going to be accounting for. Or maybe some personal actions. I can't think of great examples of personal actions. Maybe like salah, that 2 rakat salah of fajr that I recite. Allahu A'lam, maybe it has implications on rest of society or universally, but let's say maybe that's a personal recording that I put on my own book that I will be taken into account for. Mufassirun say that these verses which seem to contradict one another are not dealing with universal principles, they are dealing with personal. This is why I had to go through this long diatribe about this. Yeah, that these verses which God says everybody will be questioned, not everybody will be questioned, the guilty will be questioned, the guilty will not be questioned, are referring to my personal accounting, not the universal accounting. Universal accounting, there is no doubt that everybody will go through it. Personal accounting is where there is possibility of there being different groupings of accounting. Now, if we understand that, then we still have to say, or ask ourselves, how can we reconcile these verses which seem to contradict each other, even though they are applying to personal accounting or personal hisab? Exegetes have given different opinions as to how to reconcile this. The first is that the verses which state not everyone will be questioned does not mean the complete negation of questioning. Rather, it is the negation of questioning based on how we assume questioning will take place. Should I read that again? Yeah. The verses which state not everyone will be questioned does not mean the complete negation of questioning. Rather, it is the negation of questioning based on how we assume questioning will take place. We assume questioning will take place, God asks us, we give a reply, God asks us, we give a reply. So when God says, for example, and this is where in Surah Ar-Rahman, when God says, on that day neither humans will be questioned about their sins, nor jinn, and then He says, so which of your Lord's bounties will you deny? Then He continues and He says, the guilty will be recognized by their mark on that day. Yeah. So they will be seized by their forelocks. In other words, He says, I will not need to question them. Their mark of guilt will be clearly present for everybody to see. Yeah. So you see, it is still a type of questioning or a reckoning that is taking place. Not a questioning, a reckoning. A hisab is taking place, but the mark of guilt is clearly stamped on their forehead. So this is one way of reconciling what it means when God says that they will not be questioned. Another verse, for example, another explanation is that the negation of questioning is referring to the negation of questioning by means of the tongue. But there are other ways for Allah to make someone talk. Yeah. So, for example, God says in Surah Yasin, "Al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim wa tukallimuna aydihim wa tashhadu arjuluhum bima kanu yaksibun." Today we shall seal their mouths, but their hands shall speak to us. Yeah? And their feet shall bear witness concerning what they used to earn. So this is a second way of maybe reconciling, because we have to reconcile, right? We have to figure out something, or at least a possible or a plausible explanation. So this Mufassirun give this second plausible explanation, that when God says they will not be questioned, He's referring to questioning by the tongue. But there are other ways for Him to question. A third way is mentioned is that the negation of questioning is referring to certain stations where there will be no need to question those people at those stations. Yeah. So for example, those who disbelieve, there will be no need to question them about wilaya because they disbelieved clearly. So there's a negation of that. Likewise, for those who believe, there will be no need to question them on shirk, for example, because that was something that was not present in them. So here, Mufassirun say that this is a plausible explanation of how this reckoning will not be applied to them. Based on the above, the negation of the questioning of those who are patient, the verse is an exception to all the possibilities mentioned. So that is in itself a category that may not have an answer that can fit into these. It's just an exception to the rule, where God says everybody will be questioned but those who strived in this world and are patient. There are clear hadith as well that says حاسبوا قبل أن تحاسبوا. Take account of yourself before you are made to take account. Additional hadith would say those who take account of themselves in this world, there will be nothing to take account of them in the hereafter. This is why when we discussed at the very beginning of my stay here about muhasaba, we said that muhasaba basically is preventing or safeguarding us from having to face that accounting in the hereafter, when we can take that accounting on ourselves in this particular world. Now, the next question that we have to ask then is, what does it mean when God says He is quick in reckoning? Sari'ul Hisab. There are many verses in the Quran which says, Al-Yawma tujzi kullu nafsin bima kasabat, la zulma al-yawm inna allaha sari'ul hisab. Today every soul shall be questioned or be requited for what it has earned. There will be no injustice today. Indeed, Allah is swift or quick in reckoning. Sari'ul hisab. There are two possible explanations. The first explanation, what it means when God says He is Sari'ul Hisab, is that Allah will be swift and quick in His reckoning and will not delay or prolong His judgment on anybody. And a verse of the Quran says this, and then are they sent back to Allah, their Master, the True One. Now surely He is the judgment. His is the judgment, and He is the swiftest in taking account. That verse may not be exactly clear what is meant. What is meant here just sounds like He is quick in reckoning. What is meant is that He will not do injustice to somebody to prolong their accounting. And what we mean by that is that this hadith actually answers it very clearly. Hadith is from Bihar al-Anwar, volume 7. Page 253, عن أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب عليه السلام. اللهم صل على. He says أنه قال أنه يعني أن الله يحاسب الخلق دفعة كما يرزقهم دفعة. He says that God will take into account all of creation at one time, the way He provides sustenance to all at one time. Yeah. That means He doesn't say, Jafar, here's a breath. Here, you, here's a breath. He provides breath to all of us, right? It's not like He says, today is the day Jafar will get rizq and here's the day some. No, He provides rizq to all of us. Likewise, He will take hisab of all of us at the same time. Yeah, daf'a. And again, we talked about this last week. This answers the shubha or the doubt one may have. This is, how is it fair that I was created 50,000 years before my predecessors, and their accounting goes first, now I have to wait 50,000 years for my accounting, right? That's not fair. That would go against the adalat of God. Hence, it will all happen at the same exact time for everybody, basically. And this is what is meant when we say that He is Sari'ul Hisab, that He is quick in reckoning. Everybody's accounting will be taking place simultaneously and without zulm happening. The second explanation is also quite beautiful, is that the quickness of His reckoning is not referring only to the quickness in the hereafter, but it is also referring to this world. Meaning that when I do an action, the payment of that is not only going to come in the hereafter quickly, but it happens right away in this world. Right away, my accounting is taking place and the judgment is being passed on me. God says, surely the true religion with Allah is Islam, and those to whom the book had been given did not show opposition but after knowledge had come to them, out of envy among themselves. And whoever disbelieves in the communications of Allah, then surely Allah is quick in reckoning. And then two verses later in Surah Ali Imran, God says, those are they whose work shall become null in this world as well as the hereafter, and they shall have no helpers. Meaning that when somebody does an action in this world, the accounting or the hisab takes place on them right away, and then that hisab will be quickly done in the hereafter as well. The only problem is obviously that we don't realize that we are being held accountable for every action that we do immediately. And this is what we talked about in the manifestation of our actions in Akhirah and Barzakh, is that when I do an action, that action is being manifested in the next realm right now as I speak. It will not be manifested or created once I get there, right? And if we understand that, then the hadith, which are plenty, which for example, Rasulullah, peace and blessings be upon him and his family, says that you say, Subhanallah, a tree is planted for you in Jannah. But don't do anything to burn those trees down. It may be taken as a metaphor to inspire people, but it could be taken as a reality that everything I do now is being manifested in Akhirah right now. So a garden is being created for me based on my actions right now, but if I do something evil right now, I am burning down that garden, right? Not later, it is right now that it is happening. What is meant by su'ul hisab? There are verses which talk about su'ul hisab, and then there are verses which talk about hisaban yasira. So evil reckoning or good reckoning. Evil reckoning, there are verses which talk about this, and those who join that which Allah has bidden to be joined and have awe of their Lord and fear the evil reckoning. وَالَّذِينَ يَسِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُسَلْ وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ وَيَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ. And they are afraid of an evil reckoning. Another verse similarly adds, for those who answer the summons of their Lord, there shall be the best of rewards. But those who do not answer Him, even if they possess all that is in the earth and as much of it besides, they would surely offer it to redeem themselves with it. For such there shall be an evil reckoning, and their refuge shall be hell, and it is the evil resting place. It is said that this su'ul hisab is known as the sidqul hisab, the real questioning. Yeah, there's a hadith from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, where he was asked, an qawlillah wa yakhafuna su'al hisab, qala al-istiqsa wal-mudaqqa. Istiqsa is basically like an investigation or an in-depth inspection that will take place, and mudaqqa is any precision. So when Allah is talking about this su'ul hisab, it is for people who will have to go through this very painful, precise hisab, that nothing is left over. And God says, fear that type of hisab. Yeah, that is something that no man wants to go through, because every last atom will be brought forth. And Imam alayhi salam continues in his hadith, وقال يُحْسَبُ عَلَيْهِمْ سَيِّئَاتْ وَلَا يُحْسَبُ لَهُمُ الْحَسَنَاتِ. And God will take into account, in this type of precise accounting, only their evil actions. Their good actions will not even be mentioned. Yeah. So here, when God is saying fear this type of accounting, it is referring to this type of precise accounting, where everything will be brought forward. But opposite to this, God has also said that there will be an easy reckoning for people. He says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Then as to him who is given his book in his right hand, he shall be reckoned with a very easy reckoning. So obviously then we understand that easy reckoning is talking about the opposite of this difficult reckoning. The next point is that when we are standing in front of God, the Quran mentions very beautiful conversations that people will have on that day. Yeah, there will be arguments presented to God and defenses presented to God. Blame to other people will be presented to God. And He has very beautifully and eloquently mentioned this in the Quran. My throat is messing up big time, so I don't think I can read all of these. You have the slides. Yeah, but read them. They're very beautiful. I just want to point out one of them. And they shall come, the second verse, 14, 21, and 22. And they shall come forth before Allah. Then the weak shall say to those who are proud, surely we were your followers. Can you therefore avert from us any part of this chastisement? They would say, if Allah had guided us, we too would have guided you. It is the same to us whether we are impatient now or patient. There is no place for us to escape to. And the shaitan shall say, after the affair is decided, surely Allah promised you the promise of truth, and I gave you promises, then failed to keep them to you. 2 points here. First is, Shaitan's argument. Yeah, he will take no blame on that day. Yeah, and he knows his final destination, right? And he will say, God promised you, I promised you, I lied to you. Yeah, simple as that. Yeah, so Shaitan's not going to take anybody's blame, anybody's responsibility on that particular day. What's interesting about this verse, which I thought was very interesting, was the statement of those who are filled with pride. They say, "Qalu law hadana Allah la hadaynakum." If Allah had guided us, we would have guided you. Now, what does that mean? Yeah, did Allah not guide the prideful? Yeah, this is a very important question. We have to reconcile that. I believe in my head we do. What is meant here? The Mufassirun give two explanations. This hidayah, which is mentioned here, law hadana Allah la hadaynakum, is this hidayah, this guidance, is referring to salvation. Yeah, is referring to safety from the fire and entry into Jannah. This is that hidayah. And this is why, if you remember, when we did tafsir of the verse, Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana lihada, this is a statement made by who? People who entered Jannah. Yeah. So this hidayah, based on that connection, is referring to their entry into Jannah. So what these prideful people are saying is that if God had given us access to Jannah, we would have did shafa'ah for you. Because He is not giving us Jannah, there's nothing we can do for you. The second explanation is also very plausible, is that this is how the proud and arrogant behave in this world, and they will continue to behave like that in the hereafter, where they default blame to other people. Yeah? It's not my fault, it's your fault. This is not my fault, he did this to me. Yeah, the arrogant and the prideful always do this to make sure that their status remain. And the Mufassirun say this is truly the shaitani way, and they continue it in the hereafter, where they know they have no salvation, so they blame God. And they say, well, he didn't do anything, how can I do it for you? Right? So this is one of the two possibilities about this verse. It continues, then on the resurrection day, some of you shall deny others, and some of you shall curse others, and your abode is the fire. And then there is this, again, a lengthy verse talking about those who are weak, and how they turn to those they followed because of their weakness, and how those people on the Day of Judgment will have nothing to want, nothing they want from them. So these are the type of discussions that will be happening in front of God, saying, God, it's not my fault, it's His fault, but on that day nothing matters, God doesn't care. And the last part about what we discussed about Hisab is that no man can take the burden from somebody else on that day. Yeah, where God says, "Wala taziru waziratun wizra ukhra," and a burdened soul cannot bear the burden of another. And if one weighed down by burden should cry for another to carry its burden, not aught of it shall be carried, even though he be near of kin. Subhanallah. Yeah, where somebody will cry out and say, "Look, just take something from me, take this sin from me," and nobody will come to your help on that day. And again, the verse is, neither are you answerable for any reckoning of theirs, nor are they answerable for your reckoning, that they may bear their burdens entirely on the day of resurrection, and also of the burdens of those whom they led astray without knowledge. Now surely evil is what they bear. Obviously, this is talking about those effects that I had, right, on people and their misguidance. But as far as somebody helping me on that day, God is not going to transfer somebody's pain onto anybody else on that day. Hisab took a long time, but I thought it was important that we discuss it in as much detail as we can to understand all the intricacies, I believe, of this subject. Next week, inshallah, we'll try to make it the last week. We'll do shifa, intercession, and we'll do maybe the station of A'raf. Yeah, the creation of heaven and hell might not come about. If you guys are up for it, we can do an eighth week. I don't know how up for it I am, but if you want, we can. If you promise to participate, but I'll try to squeeze in as much of it as possible. وآخر دعوان أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى اللهم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد.